Well, if you're back to hear some more of our extracts from the hilarious series of live radio programmes broadcast 20 years ago by me, Vernon Pierce, and one of my best friends, but now sadly the late Brian Starman, in the Grumpy Old Men programmes, then you'll not be disappointed. Because here are some more of those observations on life, which strangely don't seem to have changed much with the passage of time. And in this episode, we'll be talking about junk mail, car sales, the press, washing and washing machines, disabled parking, and graffiti.
Right, talk to me, Vernon. Talk to me, my man.
Yes, I'm getting fed up, and I know we've covered junk telephone calls before and unwanted telephone calls, but I'm also fed up with the number of unwanted envelopes that come flooding through my letterbox. Probably half of the mail every day is junk mail.
At least half.
Yeah. Letters offering me loans, additional credit cards, and all sorts of products I would never dream of using. We won't go into them. Why not? Name one. Let's move on.
Okay.
But it was also brought home to me the other day because my old mum was mentioning that she's almost intimidated by some of the begging letters she gets from charities, many of them that start, "Thank you for your support in the past," when she hasn't ever supported them. And it's sort of like a con, isn't it, to sort of prick your conscience. And she's a very kind, very generous lady, and she gives to certain charities, but she feels almost obliged, if you like, in the fact that they very often enclose a free pen. Had any of those?
Exactly. I was then going to mention it, because you know it's in there because you can feel it, but then there's an element of guilt coming in. Do I keep the pen? Do I use it?
Yeah, that's
right.
Do
I dump it? Do I contribute?
But, my mum's a pensioner and she feels guilty that she can't afford to give to all of them. There's pressure. But we're also back into talking about wasting paper and all the paper that this is printed on and the effect on the environment,
That's the worst thing. The trees we're lopping down to produce this rubbish. I was going to use a less polite word.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there is a way, actually, I don't know whether you know, but you can actually stop this. You can actually register with something called the Mail Preference Service.
I didn't know that.
You can do it by telephoning 0845 703 4599. I'll give you that number again at the end.
Brilliant.
Or you can go online. Maybe you haven't got a computer at home, access to the internet, but I'm sure your grandchildren or children have. And if you log on to MPS Online, Mail Preference Service Online, all one word, .org.uk. And by the way, there isn't any charge for this service. Don't fall for any letters or phone calls or emails requesting a payment to prevent unwanted junk mail. That's another scam.
Yes.
That people write to you and say, "Oh, we can stop all this junk mail, send 25 quid. Don't fall for it. That's right.
Yeah.
It's free. So it's the Mail Preference Service, and the telephone number you need is 0845 703 4599. And I'm sure, the Citizens Advice Bureau can advise you or whatever.
Is it very effective?
It takes about 3 months to take effect, and it isn't 100%, I must admit, because the firms who sign up to this agreement accept that they will take you off of their mailing list, but of course there are a lot who don't.
I wonder why that is. Could they be the more unscrupulous ones?
But certainly after a while, if you give it time to take effect, it does reduce, but it doesn't stop unwanted mail. So don't think it's going to be the panacea, as it were. What are you going to talk about next then, Brian?
I'm going to have a go at garages really here. Starting off with the salespeople, I don't know about you, but if I ever go into a garage to look at a car, I want to go and look at the car. I do not want to be pestered non-stop by these guys in short trousers who appear to be about 14 years of age. And they do not read your body language. If they come, I don't mind them coming over and say, "Look, if you need a hand, sir, or you need help, just call," and then disappear. But they don't. They keep hovering in, keep coming back.
See something you like, Gov?
Yeah, and what do? I walk out. Yeah. I walk out. They don't learn it. And I had a recent experience at the Alton show, because I've got a Mazda estate car. And I've seen the new Volkswagen Passat estate. And I thought, well, it'd be interesting to do the comparison. So I walked over to it, and inevitably a salesman followed by his manager came over, really in my face. And I said, "Are you looking at the estate car?" And I thought, well, it's fairly obvious. I'm standing here facing it. Maybe that is what I'm doing. And the point of this story is they then asked me what car I had, which I thought was interesting. That's a sensible question. But as soon as I mentioned a Mazda, the salesman actually accused me of being an idiot for ever having bought a Mazda.
Right way to impress a potential customer, isn't it?
But I always think a salesman's lost the plot if instead of extolling the virtues of their product,
they start knocking their competition.
The other products. And I actually said to him, why the heck don't you tell me what's really brilliant about the Passat rather than not my car? I said, you've really upset me. I love my Mazda. But I don't know.
I think that's a classic sales thing. You just don't knock the competition, do you? You say, well, it's a very nice car, sir, but ours is better. You
because.
Know, yeah, that's right. That's what you want them to tell you, is why should you buy that particular car?
Another thing that I'm going on my modern car kick here. You could probably remember in the 50s and 60s actually working on your own car.
Yes.
You fitted a radio, you fitted... Can you remember the heated rear screen stickers that you put up?
No, I don't remember that. But things like under the bonnet, like, you know, tackling the points and cleaning them out on a Sunday...
Can you do it now?
Absolutely not. I open the bonnet of my car and I just stand there completely bemused and put the lid back down again.
But DIY is gone.
That's right.
Yeah. No, this isn't driven by cost or money at all, is it?
No. I can see the cynicism poking through here.
I'm hoping you can hear it. But I find it sad because I'm not an expert, but I like dabbling with cars. But modern cars, you can't do it.
No, they plug a computer diagnostic kit in, and that's the only way to solve some of these problems.
I nearly smacked a workshop manager, in the face once with a fist because I'd had a problem because it had electric windows in my car. And the driver's window, when it was winding up, made lots of noise. So I took it in under warranty and said, check it out. And when I went back, I retested it. It was the same. He said, there's nothing we can do about it, sir, but the glass in the driver's window is heavier than it is in all of the other four windows. And I just stood there incredulous. I didn't know what to do, whether to smack him, hug him, murder him, or whatever. And it's this patronising, this air of, we know what's best for you.
Yeah. I think we'll have to get you off of this subject, Brian.
Now, the next topic, we lost the toss on because I want to grab this one, but it's now over to you. It's something to do with the paparazzi.
Well,
have I said that correctly?
You have indeed, yeah. And it does bug me a bit. I don't read the sort of the tabloids very much, but what really bugs me is the way that these photographers intrude into the lives of politicians and stars and so on, and hang around outside their house and hound them and so on.
But in hundreds.
Yeah, that's right. And the minute details of these people's lives is sort of dug over daily and sort of splashed across the front page of the paper. Now, I know what you're going to say, and some of the listeners up there will say, look, these people put themselves in the public life. They've got to be prepared to take, a bit of exposure from time to time.
I think the word there is bit of exposure rather than total throughout the day, 24/7.
The Daily Rag seem to just enjoy digging the dirt. I mean, do we really want to know the intimate details of, somebody's sex life or what they had for lunch and so on?
But they claim it's through public interest. Now, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the newspaper claiming it's a public interest, or is it the public demanding this sort of information? I don't think it's the public demanding it.
That's right. Now, I mean, there are certain things that we have a right to know. And that should be reported. But, to do this for the sake of selling papers, because I'm sure that's what it's becoming now. It's like a competition, isn't it? You've got to find something bigger and dirtier and, sort of more, something that nobody else has found out about. And all this is sort of by digging through people's dustbins. And
can you imagine doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, isn't it?
Visiting a restaurant and seeing what they ate.
Yeah, and a long-range lens, that can sort of peer inside their rooms. It's a total intrusion into people's private lives. And especially if you're royalty, you're just, although you are in the public eye, and I understand that, there's no right that anyone has to intrude into your life like that.
Because I'm not a fan of John Prescott, and I'm not getting political. But if you remember, he was photographed on the croquet lawn.
Yeah.
And there was lots of media coverage. That photograph, as I understand it, was taken from 2 miles away.
You're joking. Now, 2 miles?
No, that... on the one hand, you're thinking that's fantastic technology, but that is invidious.
That's right.
That should be illegal.
And the whole thing is all happening to the detriment of real news. That's what I'm. Yeah. What I mean, you know, when I buy a newspaper, sometimes I might pick up one of these rags in the dentist or a waiting room or something.
Is it a sunny day? Is it?
No, I look in the mirror. But you know, that's all it's full of is rubbish.
I know.
Soup stars.
What are the soup stars doing?
Yeah. But I want to buy a newspaper. Yes. I want to know what's going on.
I want to be informed.
Yeah, exactly. There are things going on in the world which we should know about. We can do something about. You know, the sort of global warming and all that sort of thing. And all we'd see is Jade Goody or somebody else splashed across the front page, and it's usually scantily clad.
Rent-a-gob. Yes. Sorry, I did. That just slipped out. I didn't mean to say that. Now, talking on that, I'm a mere male, Vernon, which you may or may not have noticed.
Well, I had my doubts. But
you had no doubts. No. It's the clothing I wear. Probably it gives you the clue. But
the grumpy old men's jumper. It definitely.
Oh, you're just jealous. You're just jealous. I want to talk about washing machines because that's why I mentioned I'm a mere male, because some of them are beyond me, because you've got different temperatures, you've got different times, different programs, but surely that means you have to do far more loads, which is not very good for the environment, because you use more water. Then you've got tumble drying, and some must be tumble dried and some must not be tumble dried. Some must be on a short, gentle program, some on a very long, violent program. And should they be inside out or upside down? And should colours be separate from white? And what do light greys qualify as?
Black or white, yeah, long whites or coloured. But, you know, I agree with you, because of all the things that I do in the house to help my wife, I have never got to grips with the washing machine. I'm sorry, but I can do the washing up, I can cook, I can clean the house, but I have never understood washing machines.
So you've never finished up with a pink shirt?
Oh, yes, but that's not down to me.
And this is an old one. This goes back centuries, I would guess. Why are there always, at the end of the washing cycle, three odd socks that don't have partners?
You get that problem as well, do you?
Oh, God. And then you've got to have man-made materials separate and... I think we're going to finish up with doing an article at a time to comply with all these programmes. And should wool be done with or separate from yak's fur clothing? Of course, women pretend they know all the answers to these, but that's arguably a bit sexist, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the days when you used to throw them in a bowl with some Lux flakes or something and just wiggle them around a bit and then rinse them out?
I know. You didn't seem to have the problems then, did you?
No. Well, perhaps we've become too sophisticated with our fabrics and, you know, different types of fabrics, man-made fabrics and so on.
Yeah.
But has your wife tried to sort of unlock the mysteries of the washing machine?
I don't want her to, Vernon.
It's not because you're being chauvinist about it, is it? Because thought you were quite a sort of a liberated man, Brian.
Oh, I'm a liberated man, but I do occasionally use a washing machine, but only when it's safe to do so, when I know it's a white and it goes on programme 8 for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But, because I always get it wrong.
So does your wife ever go off on holiday and leave you on your own? I mean, what do you do then? Do you save up all the washing until she gets back?
I just wear the same clothing every day, Vern.
Well, no, I've got enough pairs of underpants, enough pairs of socks to last me through 2 weeks.
To be honest, it's never been an experience because we've always been together. But when it happens, I'll let you know.
Okay.
You're listening to Two Grumpy Old Men, presented by Vernon Pierce and Brian Starman, a regular programme of middle-of-the-road music, interspersed with moans about the things that annoy us most, and some amusing observations on life.
I don't know about you, but I get very annoyed when I pull into town centres or car parks or whatever by the number of able-bodied drivers who are parking in disabled parking bays.
Yes.
Now, I have some sympathy because my old mum can't get around on her legs very much now, and she can't get out of a car properly without swinging her legs around. So you need to be able to open the door wide and to bring the wheelchair around and so on.
Yeah.
So it's essential that, you know, when my dad pulls into a car parking space or a supermarket or whatever, that he's got the ability to go into one of these spaces with a nice wide, you know, be able to open the door. But no, you get all these lazy people, able-bodied people, who can't. And sometimes they say, well, I'm only going to be a few minutes.
That's not the point.
That's the point. During those few minutes, you know, some disabled driver is going to come along and can't park there. So it's very selfish, in my opinion. And, you know, it's got to stop.
But when you see a whole car park, which, let's say for the sake of argument, takes 200 cars, there are probably only four or five disabled spaces.
Yeah.
So quick mathematics is a huge number for the able-bodied to use.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
So why they intrude on these limited number of spaces, which are there for a very good reason?
Well, I think they just don't understand the difficulties which disabled people have in, as I say, getting in and out of cars and just being able to get around. And just saying, well, I'm only going to be a few minutes, is just it shows a lack of concern, I think.
I think the supermarkets or stores or whatever should manage it better.
Yeah. But I do have to say something on the other side, and maybe it's disappearing now with the latest badges that are being issued, but there was a time when I think there was a certain amount of misuse of disabled parking permits, and that doctors were writing notes too easily for those people who perhaps were not that ill, that they couldn't walk 100 yards or
and they
whatever.
Could, so they should have been encouraged to make the
that's
effort.
Right, yeah. I mean, I remember my mother-in-law's partner who had to have his neck in a brace and so on, and I didn't feel that was particularly, you know, disabling in a way, in that he couldn't look round quickly and look over his shoulder and that sort of thing.
But you don't need that for walking.
No, exactly. So I think that was an example that perhaps irritated me a little bit. And I'm not trying to suggest that it is there is any widespread abuse. But I think doctors have got to be very careful about how, in the same way that they dish out prescriptions sometimes willy-nilly, the same with approving disabled parking permits.
And also enable people in their advancing years to continue driving when demonstrably they shouldn't.
That's right. Well, that's another issue about taking driving tests and people having licenses.
Yes.
So what are you going to talk to us about next, Brian?
It's graffiti, in the news at the moment, but I won't go into details on that for obvious reasons. But I think there are elements of graffiti that actually demonstrate there's a talent out there.
Yeah.
There is some graffiti that I look at and I actually admire.
Yeah, but don't let's run away with the idea that it's acceptable just because some of it's artistic.
Oh, no, but it's not graffiti per se. It's where it is. I think the problem is where it's done. I don't know if you've heard of Banksy?
No.
Well, he's a guy who started off as a street graffiti artist, and he then developed, he actually did a huge mural on the wall in Berlin. And he's very, very clever. And in fact, now his paintings sell for thousands of pounds.
Right.
I mean, what I'm saying is there are talented people, graffiti artists out there. But I say, if you ever take a train into London, as you approach the main stations, wherever it is, Victoria, Waterloo, the graffiti is everywhere.
It's disgraceful.
On signal boxes and on everything. No. I don't get that. But I'm wondering if this is something that local councils should work at encouraging in providing areas. And I think there are areas of London where they're actually now experimenting with this. They're getting the graffiti guys together and they're saying, there's a wall there, decorate it.
Yeah.
And they showed some last night. And this is very attractive stuff. But the bulk of it is unnecessary, intrusive, costly to remove, millions of pounds each year.
And shows a total lack of respect for people's property. You know, we're back to this business of, you know, children being allowed to grow up, not having any respect for people and the way they behave in public and so on, whether it's using the F word or lying on the ground and kicking and screaming, you know.
It's a disrespect property. But what I always find funny is they all actually have an ID, which they leave at the scene.
A tag.
A tag. Yeah. So they're saying, you know, they can easily be identified, but I don't know the answer to it. I think councils should try and encourage it to be done in proper places.
Absolutely.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if so, there's another Grumpy Old Men podcast coming up soon.